highlighting the amazing stories from inside the North Clackamas School District. This is the Proud to Be NCSD podcast, hosted by longtime principal and current community relations director, Curtis Long.
You may shoot me with your words. You may cut me with your eyes. You may kill me with your hatefulness. But still, like life, I'll rise.
I refuse to accept the view that mankind is so tragically bound to the starless midnight of racism and war, that the bright daybreak of peace and brotherhood can never become a reality.
Soul has no color, no shape, no form. You have the power to change perception, to inspire and empower, and to show people how to embrace their complications and see the flaws and the true beauty and strength that's inside all of us.
Change will not come if we wait for some other person, or if we wait for some other time. We are the ones we've been waiting for.
And welcome in to what I believe, and what many of my colleagues across the North Clackamas School District believe, is a very important edition of the Proud to Be NCSD podcast. This week marks the middle of February, which means we are also right in the middle of Black History Month across our country. And as you heard from prominent Black Americans during that opening montage, Maya Angelou, Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., Beyoncé Knowles, and President Barack Obama, and credit to Newsweek Online for the sound, we certainly have much to celebrate, but also much to reflect upon throughout this month. As Beyoncé said, each of us has the power to change perception, to inspire and to empower, and to see the true beauty and strength that's inside all of us. This podcast is called Proud to Be NCSD, and there are certainly Black Americans within the North Clackamas School District who inspire and empower students to see the true beauty and strength that's inside of them. And we're certainly proud to be joined by three guests this week who joined the Milwaukee High School staff at different times, but have since bonded together to serve the MHS community as mentors, student advocates, and coaches within several of Milwaukee High School's athletic programs. And we are very honored to welcome Craig Sneed, Tim Price, and Kiki Ayo. Craig, Tim, Kiki, thank you so much for taking time out of your busy days. And let's let each of you introduce yourselves and your current role at Milwaukee High.
So my name is Craig Sneed, and I'm a physical education teacher, and I coach the girls' varsity basketball team.
Tim Price, campus monitor, head football coach.
Kiki Ayo, campus monitor, head baseball coach.
So we've got three different sports in here. We've got baseball, we've got basketball, and football. You guys know the student athletes pretty well at Milwaukee High School, then, I would assume.
Yes, we do.
Yes, we do.
I imagine you form pretty special relationships with your athletes. Not only athletes, but other students as well.
Yeah, it's part of the job, being able to stay on top of, you know, your athletes as much as possible and forming those relationships, but just forming relationships with all the kids.
Now, Tim, football over with, so what are we doing right now as far as football goes? Letting the kids play other sports right now? Is there some off-season conditioning going on?
Yeah, we got weight room going on right now. We have other kids involved in other sports. Hoping they stay involved throughout the year before football comes back around, so we encourage them to play other sports.
And Craig, girls basketball going on right now. How's it going so far this season?
It's actually going pretty good. They're definitely working hard, and we've run through a few little obstacles, but it's definitely an improvement, and I like where the program is going down the road.
And Kiki, how about for you with baseball? That's just starting up now. You can get access to those athletes, right?
Yeah, we've been hitting the weight room pretty hard. One of the things that I noticed from last year is that we were physically weak. And so we had to get physically stronger, year wiser. Things have been going good. We got our winter workouts in. We condition every day and do our skill development 6 hours a week.
Now, I want to tie this in with Black History Month. It's the middle of February right now. For each of you, what does Black History Month mean to you and the way that it is acknowledged in our school district?
I think it's acknowledged pretty well. We just had Black History Assembly the other day, and turnout was good. The assembly was great. Got a lot of knowledge from it. So I think we're acknowledging Black History in Clackamas School District pretty well.
Yeah, no, it's really awesome to see, especially at our school. We have a pretty good BSU group, and we've really, like, just seeing the kids bring everything together, that's been the most exciting part for me.
Yeah, I was part of the Black History BSU for a number of years, and that's a celebration that we put on at school. It's big time. And one thing that I was really proud of for the kids at Milwaukee is our student government dug into Black history and found a lot of important people that I didn't even know about. And I put up posters around the school. So it really was a collaborative effort throughout the student body.
In each of your career journeys, what led you to apply in North Clackamas, which is continually trying to racially diversify its staff makeup?
For me, I had just left Multnomah County and was kind of basically doing a sabbatical and got a call from Carmen Gilman because one of the campus monitor positions had opened up and I had done campus monitoring my very first job out of college. I felt like this would be a good opportunity to come back and go full circle in my career, and I'm very, very happy that I've done this.
And tell us a little bit about what does a campus monitor do? How do you fill your day?
Basically making sure that we get all our kids to class and try and get them to class on time, making sure that there's no fights, handle a lot of kids' issues. They pull you to the side and they want to discuss something. It's just basically you're working with inside a community itself. Because of our stature on campus, kids tend to gravitate to us a lot, and we're just nice and calm and we listen. You know, we have to be voiceful, we be voiceful. So it's a mutual respect.
And Craig, how about for you? What led you to North Clackamas?
I actually got in North Clackamas by accident.
Oh, okay.
It was a positive accident. At the time, I cooked for about 12 years before I got into any education. I was always a basketball coach. The old Clackamas varsity basketball coach, his name was Cameron Mitchell. He hired me on as assistant coach. And so I was just kind of helping him out. I don't know how it happened, but somebody applied for me. And I got a study hall. I had a study hall position at Clackamas High School, more like a temp position. And then I actually decided a year after that I didn't want to do it anymore. Hmm. And so just to be open, I was unemployed for about 3 months. And it was Carmen. She called me up and, you know, it was kind of just pretty much where I am right now. Started off in study hall. And then this is my second year teaching PE right now. Just kind of been growing with it, kind of rolling with it.
Now, someone gave me a lead that you're coaching girls basketball. You've got a PE job and you've got a young one at home. You've got a pretty full schedule, I hear.
Yeah, I got a pretty full schedule. Also, coach the boys tennis team. I didn't.
Oh, my goodness.
I had to put that in there, too. I do have a young one at home. She's 9. She's in the David Douglas district. She's awesome. She's what's keeping me going. So.
And now, Tim, I almost got myself into a little bit of trouble with you early in the, it was actually late in the summer, early in the school year, because this was a brand new job for me. So I was going to go out and get some footage of some of our district's football teams practicing. And all of a sudden, a guy shows up on the sidelines with a cell phone taking video of your practice. And right away, a couple of assistants came over and said, "Excuse me, sir, what are you doing here?" And you were very nice about, I explained who I was, and you gave a quality interview right there on the spot, right there on the phone. What brought you to North Clackamas?
Well, I was working at Park Rose High School as campus monitor, and Mark Pender used to be the principal at Milwaukee. He gave me a phone call and told me to come over here and work for him. So Mark Pender gave me my first football coaching job at Jefferson High School when he was a teacher there, and he was a head coach there. So he just gave me a call. He told me to come on over and work for Milwaukee High School, and I've been here ever since.
Now, I hadn't met any of you before today, but as I asked others across the district about each of you, three words came up over and over: amazing student advocates. Why is that so important for you to advocate for students of color and all students, not only at Milwaukee High, but district-wide?
Well, you know, we, like Terrell said, we involve with these kids on an everyday basis. They come to us, they see us in the hallways, they talk to us, they confide in us. We wear many hats. One day, we're campus monitors. 5 minutes later, we're counselors.
After school, you're the coach.
You know, after school, we're the coach. So we wear many hats, and we talk to these kids every day, 8 hours a day. And we build that bond and that relationship that, you know, they can come and talk to us about anything, you know, and that's when, you know, our many hats come out, and we have to recognize what we're dealing with.
And I imagine that there's been some pretty emotional conversations. When you build that level of trust with students, they're going to share with you some pretty emotional things.
Oh, yeah. Personal, family. We got to understand what's going on. So if we need to direct that to a higher level, then that's what we need to do. But if something that we can handle right then and there, we pretty much take care of business.
Yeah, it's never the same.
Right.
I mean, every day is different. Every hour is different. Trying to keep kids on a routine, that's important. It makes our job a lot easier. I wouldn't trade my job for nothing in the world because I ain't never bored.
Right. Never boring, that's for
never
sure.
Never bored.
Craig, how about for you in advocating for students? And you're in a kind of a unique situation that you're coaching girls as well. Are girls as willing to confide in Coach Sneed?
I think it's just how you build the relationships with them. I know for me, I was just in students in general, whether it's boys or girls. I was a kid that barely graduated high school. So, you know, having that connection, I feel like when I talk with them, I try to put myself in their shoes. How was I feeling at that moment in time? Or what was I going through? And sometimes when you talk to them and you have that connection with them, then they feel comfortable talking to you. Because like, okay, so you kind of get where I'm coming from. But if you come through and you assume, and maybe you're from a whole different generation, it's like, you know, me being the youngest in this group right here, you know, it is, I'm a little closer. So it's like, I get sometimes when they're talking about the relationships they have, boyfriend, girlfriends, or just whatever, you know, I don't mind talking to them about those things, because it's like, sometimes they just really just want somebody to hear them.
And you guys have all said that, they just want someone to hear them. Now, obviously, we're not going to mention any names or anything, but tell us maybe about a situation that you've dealt with or helped guide a student through that maybe our general listeners would never think, oh gosh, I didn't know that the coach or the mentor at school would have to deal with that kind of thing.
I had a young lady just recently was going through a hard time with a boyfriend, and he was being a little disrespectful. So we say we had to pull his card, let him know, not in a mean way, but helping him understand that you have to learn to respect women. You have a mom. You wouldn't do these things or say these things to your mom. You can't treat her any different. And I just think a lot of them just, they're just naive about a lot of things, you know. So for us to be able to shed a different light on the situation that they might be going through, and them feeling comfortable enough to come and discuss it with you, it means that you're an important person in their life.
Oh, our students are so lucky to have people like you in their lives.
I think for me, just helping students with their grades.
Oh, okay.
Going back to that.
Yeah.
You know, making them understand, you know, when I first started in study hall, we used to do like a lot of college and career work. And, you know, I would throw students off because I would tell them, you know, I'm not trying to force college down your throat. At the end of the day, you know, you have to be mature enough to go to college. You have to want to go to college. And I think that was one of the things that students like appreciated, because like, oh, so his story's a little bit different. His whole spill is different. And it was like, no, because the reason why I'm telling you this is because I went through that, where it's like, I felt I had to go to college. But what happened was, like I said, once I had my daughter, that was my motivation to go. And when I went, that's how I succeeded, because I had that motivation. That's why I told them, you guys have to find your motivation at the end of the day. Of course, our goal is to make sure all you guys are like successful. You guys want you to have awesome lives. But at the end of the day, you have to find that motivation. Why do you wake up every day to do what you do? And that's what I try to teach all of them, where it's like, what's your motivation? What's that first thing you think about when you wake up in the morning? And right there, roll with that.
And I'm sure, Tim, as a coach of, you know, you have 40, 50 guys on that roster, you hear a lot of stories and a lot of things that you're dealing with in personal lives of those kids, where we forget that those are kids first and athletes second.
Oh, yeah. You get athletes to where issues like they can't wash their clothes. Mm. They don't have enough money. So I'm always telling them, you know, bring your clothes, I'll wash them for you. Or give them a couple dollars, go wash their clothes, or anything like that. Or I'm hungry. We feed them. We got peanut butter and jelly sandwiches downstairs in the locker room. But like I said, we wear many hats. And I think in my case, one of the hats is a father figure.
Mm-hmm.
And dealing with young ladies and their parents, or young men and their parents, and they not quite understanding how their parents are trying to get them to understand what they need them to do. And so they come to me and they say negative things, and then I correct them and say, no, that's not what you're supposed to be doing. Your mom and dad wants you to do this. That's why they tell you to do this. Now, if you're hearing it from somebody else that ain't in your family,
right,
telling you the same thing that your parents are telling, now they start to understand. Then they go back home with a different attitude and try to work things out. And I tell them, pick your battles. Don't just everything your parents say, you get an argument and you want to storm out the door. No, listen to what they have to say.
Do you ever get frustration from your athletes? Like, coach, whose side are you on? You know, you're sticking up for my parents. I'm trying to get over on them.
You know, for me, I can speak for me playing college baseball and growing up in inner cities in California, same as Price. We have a different perspective because we had to literally claw our way to college. And whenever opportunities presented themselves to us, we had to take advantage of it because those opportunities don't come around as much. But I wanted to go back and say something like Tim said. A lot of kids on our campus do look at him as a father figure. You know, they look at me as the crazy uncle. You know, it's just funny how most kids just want to have somebody there to listen.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and if you take the time to listen to what they have to say, then it's easier to direct.
At a convention once, Michelle Obama described her fears about raising her two daughters in a world where they would hear hate from bullies around them.
How we insist that the hateful language they hear from public figures on TV does not represent the true spirit of this country. How we explain that when someone is cruel or acts like a bully, you don't stoop to their level. No, our motto is, when they go low, we go high.
When the former First Lady explains, when they go low, we go high, how does that resonate with you and how you mentor North Clackamas students?
I think just taking the high road, I spoke about this at our Black History Assembly the other day. You know, you're going to go through a lot of obstacles in life. Believe me, I have. And sometimes it is tough to take that high road. You know, when somebody's insulting you, you know, talking about you, or, you know, coming at your family, whatever, anything that's personal, yes, it hurts. But at the end of the day, you know, my mom taught me growing up that you have to take that high road no matter what. Now, that's different. Obviously, somebody physically trying to hurt you. But at the end of the day, you know, words can't hurt you. That's the thing that you have to turn. Like I said, you got to turn the other cheek. You just really do. So, you know, that's what I try to teach the students, too, is that sometimes we let our emotions get the best of us. And it's like at some point, it's like you can't do that. Like, you got to show that class.
You can't be in this business if you ain't got thick skin. It's just you can't be letting these 14, 15, 16-year-old kids get to you as an adult.
Because they're going
to
try.
Because they're going to definitely try. Mm-hmm. And there's something you don't need to be around working with high school, elementary, junior high school kids, because you got to have some tough skin.
Yeah, I mean, every day on campus is an emotional roller coaster. And at some point when your student body is going through their little emotional things, you know, you have to stay very calm. And they'll say something foul to you, and you can take it two ways. You can either be upset that they said this to you, or you can just look at them and just go, okay, whatever. Mm-hmm. And just
Sometimes it's funny.
Yeah, it do be funny. They come up with some good ones.
Like, it was easy when we had the mask on, because it was like they couldn't see our facial expressions.
Right.
So sometimes you can laugh under the mask like, oh, wow.
Yeah, see, I spent 17 years as an elementary school principal, and they come up with insults, but they're not quite as sharp as what the high school kids can come up with. So, yeah, I could laugh a lot of times and say, hey, that's pretty good. But what you guys do is incredible. You've mentioned it a little bit before that you didn't grow, at least a couple of you didn't grow up around here. You grew up in Southern California. What was your experience throughout school from elementary to high school, and does that influence what you're trying to do today?
For me, growing up in Richmond, California, it's a predominantly Black community. So I went to predominantly Black elementary schools, predominantly Black middle schools. I didn't really experience going to school with other nationalities until I became a freshman in high school. Mm. And I went to an all-boys Catholic school, and that school had everything. We had Germans, we had Russians, we had Hispanics, Italians. It was very diverse, but I wouldn't change the experience for anything, because it taught me how to deal with people of different cultures. Mm-hmm. If I would have just stayed in my own little realm, I would have never had that opportunity to grow as a person. And so here in North Clackamas, as we diversify our workforce and we talk about diversity and those type of things, it all starts to make sense.
Yeah.
Now our kids are growing up in a diverse community. So now they're getting that same education. It just depends on how you swallow.
Speaking of swallowing, we've already chewed through the first half of this Proud to be NCSD episode celebrating Black History Month and our three Mustang mentors at Milwaukee High. So far, we've heard their insights about recognizing Black History Month in our schools and why they feel relationship building is the key to unlocking any student's potential. But who were their mentors growing up, and how do they help students struggling with racial identity in school?
Just be comfortable with who you are, even though you don't have that viewership of that on campus, that's still inside you. And you have to find that switch that, hey, I'm strong, I feel good, and be positive about yourself.
And you can be positive that the second half of the Proud to be NCSD podcast is up next, right after this.
Hello, I'm Mitzi Bauer, chair of the North Clackamas School District School Board.
And I'm Gina Beneloga, one of six other directors on our current board.
We are committed to listening and serving North Clackamas residents as we work together to provide the best possible learning environment for the students we serve.
As members of the North Clackamas School Board, we believe it is our duty and responsibility to increase student achievement, recognize and reward quality in educators, empower school leaders through policy governance and professional development, and communicate with the public, legislators, business leaders, cities, and parents.
We invite you to join us online at our bi-monthly board meetings held on the second and fourth Thursdays of most months. For more information, you can visit the North Clackamas District website.
With parent and community input and support, we will continue our work to give students every opportunity to succeed in all North Clackamas School District schools and beyond.
Thank you for your support. We look forward to seeing you soon.
And how do you think kids are doing these days in our district growing up in a community that's becoming more diverse?
You know, one thing I'll say on our campus is that we don't really have any racial problems. Mm. You know, we have other issues, but that's not one of them. Mm-hmm. you know, which I'm very proud of that of our school, because our staff is made up of African Americans, Latinos, people of color in high positions, and they get to see someone that looks like them.
Right.
So the relatability to us is a lot different.
Craig or Tim, how about your experiences growing up from elementary to high school and how that influences what you do today?
I grew up in Northeast Portland, so I grew up a PPS kid. I went to Boise Elliott, Vernon Elementary, all those. And, you know, it did motivate me to actually want to be a teacher, made me look back on my journey. I had some awesome PE teachers. They were like my heroes. Like, you think about all those teachers and you're like, oh, okay, that's something. I definitely could see myself doing that. My whole transition into teaching, that's kind of like motivated me. Like, you know what? I always said I could do that, so now I'm going to go ahead and try it out. But no, I went to Madeline Parish in middle school, and I was actually the only African-American student in my class.
Uh-huh.
And so that was when I kind of learned, like, okay, this is how these people act, this is how these people act. You know, it's kind of like, it is a little bit different when you kind of learn. I always look at that experience as a really positive experience, because I probably would have never knew just my knowledge on different cultures and stuff like that. Even some of those kids, I still keep in contact with them today, you know, so it was cool. It was a rocky start. You know, you get some kids where they like, I don't really know what to say to him.
Yeah.
You know, but it was awesome. It was a cool experience.
Tim, how about for you growing up elementary through high school?
Yeah, I grew up in Southern California, the real Southern California. Not
there he goes.
The real Southern California.
He loved that Bay Area.
Outside of L.A., a little small town in Duarte. You know, I grew up in a black neighborhood. In fact, all the neighbors, when you look, woke up in the morning, you go outside, nothing but black folks in the streets, neighbors. I always tell the kids, and I always tell adults, that it starts at home. So it's a lot of stuff where, you know, I could have gotten involved in gangs if I wanted to. I became an athlete. I was a big athlete, but I played three sports. It was hard, but when you have a mom, not a dad in the house, which is a lot that's happening now, but you had a mom who was, when it's time to be mom, she was mom. And when it was time to be dad, she was dad. So she kept on top of seven kids. She kept us in line. She kept us focused. She kept us going in the right direction. And that home experience of a strong black woman in the home was a big help to me.
So it sounds like your mom was a big mentor growing up. Craig or Kiki, who were your mentors growing up?
Yeah, I was afraid of my mom. My mom was a very educated woman, had a master's degree in sociology, and she was a probation officer with seven kids in the house, just like Tim. You know, when she needed to discipline you, she did. Two things that couldn't happen in my household. One, you couldn't come home with bad grades, and definitely couldn't get suspended. Kind of like Craig said, you know, mentors. I mean, I had an older brother who was my hero. Well, he still is my hero. And my uncles, you know, were professional athletes and cousins and stuff. So I kind of had an idea of what I wanted to do. And I knew that only way I can get to my dream was that I had to have an education to do it. All my life, all I ever wanted to do was play baseball. That's all I wanted to do. I didn't see anything else that I wanted to do until later on in life in college. When that dream isn't coming to fruition, you got to find something else that you're good at. And I found that, you know, working with kids was something that I was good at because I could relate to them. And so ever since then, I mean, I had good coaches that were mentors, that were white men, you know, were basically father figures for me. And I still love them to this day. And talk to them to this day. I just appreciate all that they allow me to grow into to become the man that I am today.
And Craig, how about for you?
I had the two-headed monster.
Uh-oh.
My mom and my dad.
Uh-oh.
And so, you know, my dad was very, very tough on me. I know my mom was too, but their toughness was different. You know, my mom, it was straight up, you know, she's from Texas, so she's straight Southern values, you know, ma'am and mister. And, I mean, even today, I mean, she'll still get on me today. My dad was very business-minded. His thing was about, like, how to be successful. Like that financial literacy and stuff like that. And when I was younger, never really like appreciated it because it was like, oh, why are you telling me all this? I'm only 9. I'm only 10, you know. But now I look back at a lot of things that I go through as a man. And I look back, okay, now I get what you were saying. This is what you wanted me to do. So I always call, like I said, that two-headed monster, just because it was like, I'm getting something different from each of them, but it's like, they kept a strong hold on me. Like, they knew. It was cool. Those are my two mentors, my mom and my dad.
And it's obvious to me that there are many, many Milwaukee high school students who look up to all three of you as mentors. Who were your mentors outside of family? Kiki, you mentioned that you had some coaches that were mentors to you. Do you have others, even maybe famous people that you looked up to?
I've had pastors, I've had coaches, I've had a lot of people who have mentored me, definitely took me under their wing, who have definitely guided me, given me information. You know, that's the one thing about, I've gotten different knowledge from each person. My journey, even though I'm still young myself, I've gone through so many obstacles where I've learned so much from different people. So it will be hard to just narrow it down.
I think for me, one of my mentors is Don Reynolds, big baseball guy, Harold Reynolds' older brother.
Yeah.
I first met Donnie when I was 17, and he had just got done playing pro ball. I came home into Corvallis, and Donnie has a funny personality, likes to joke around with you. And then when I turned 21, I was a junior at Oregon State, and Donnie became one of our coaches. And ever since then, he just took me under his wing. So when I got into pro ball, it was because of Donnie Reynolds. When I started scouting, it was because of Donnie Reynolds. And so even to this day, I just call him my big brother, you know, because he's just been there for me since I was a pup. And I just appreciate everything that he's done for me and really heightened my level of fascination for baseball.
How about for you, Tim?
My mentor was my uncle Marcus Burns from a young kid growing up, watching him play sports, taking me to basketball on the weekends every weekend. He was my mentor coming up, but I have to give it like Kiki said. A lot of my coaches were highly mentors to me throughout my playing in college, high school. They were not all black, some were white.
Yep.
They just took me under their wing. They saw the things that I could do in that sport, and they really helped me to try to get to the level that I wanted to get to.
Before we move on, I just got to give thanks to these two, though. Talking about mentors, they've definitely taken me under their wing since I've been in Milwaukee the last 5 years. So I definitely want to give a shout out to these two. We used to share offices, me and Kiki did, and I used to vent to him all the time.
Yeah.
He was kind of like my mentor. He's on my staff for basketball prices, and he's always giving me advice. So he's like the legends to me.
Yeah, it's easy to tell just in the little bit of time I spent with you how well you guys get along and
especially
how well you know each other.
Especially double nickels over
there. Do either of you two ever go check in on his PE group
and yeah.
try to wreak havoc in there, see if you can razz the kids up or anything?
No, they already razz.
They always got my back. You know, they've always had my back. Even back when I was real quiet my first year and I never really talked to these guys. I remember he came to my classroom, gave his personal phone number. You know, so I mean, these guys, they've always had my back, always looking out for me.
And you're always looking out for students as well. And my next question has to deal with that. I think we'd be naive to believe that there aren't black students or other students of color in NCSD who feel like they don't see themselves in our teaching staff or maybe in their peer groups. What advice would you have for those students?
Just be comfortable with who you are. Tim made a good point that it all starts at home. You can see through from the podcast here that, you know, we were raised by strong black women. Even though you don't have that viewership of that on campus, that's still inside you. And you have to find that switch that, hey, I'm strong, I feel good, and be positive about yourself, because if you don't feel good about yourself, ain't nobody else gonna feel good about you or around you.
Just showing them the avenues of when they are frustrated or they all feel like things are not going their way, there's somebody on campus they can talk to or go see. Or I even tell them to go in after class and sit down and talk to a teacher and see if they can do something for you, or maybe say something to them that, you know, I'm going through some hard times, can I get an extra day or two to get that assignment in? If you don't talk to them, you go one way or the other. Go talk to the principal, see if she can help you out. So we try to show them different avenues to go to, counselor, whatever, dean, so they can get some help and not try to figure it out on their own all the time and then just give up and say, forget it, I don't want to do it no more.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's kind of one of the things that you'll see a lot on campus, is that when you see these kids every day, the one thing that you don't want them to do is to give up. I mean, your life is just starting. I mean, you think it's tough now, wait till you become an adult. And if you don't have that foundation to be able to work through situations and issues, or know how to go find somebody to help you work your way through them issues, it's going to be tough on you. For us, it's just about staying as positive as we can, and you laugh, you joke with them, you put a smile on their face, they put a smile on your face, and it's like having a partnership.
I think it's so inspirational to hear from each of you about your passion for advocating for North Clackamas kids. Like former Georgia Congressman John Lewis once said, each of you turn your passion into action.
My simple message would be, if you find something that you feel very strong about, stand up, speak up, speak out, give it your all, push, pull, and as I said from time to time, never, ever give up.
What do you see as a part of your job that you will never give up, even when you're not teaching or not working on campus anymore, but still around youth?
I think just talking to kids. As much as, right, we say we want to retire, you know, we get away from it all. It's a tough thing. You know, I had an aunt, she taught in PPS for about 20 years plus, and she passed away last year. And I remember going to her funeral, and it was all these kids that she taught over the years. And I remember even after she continued it, even after, I think it was her last year on Earth, where she literally would host a big block party for all the students just kind of going back to school. She always do it like early September. And I remember it was always all these adults my age or even older who would come. And it was like, no, like we still have that connection. So I, you know, when I went to that funeral, it definitely gave me that motivation, but definitely made me understand kind of like why we do what we do. And I think that's something that I told myself, that that's really the goal. That's the accomplishment, right? Is that when we're gone, all these people still remember you because you helped and touched all these kids and all these people. That's something I think when I leave, I said, I don't think it'll ever go away. I think I'll always still kind of be talking to kids, coaching kids some way or another.
You know, I think when I'm done is I'll still be a good listener, even to my grandkids or kids in the neighborhood, even adults, just being a good listener and then understanding what they're trying to tell you and come up with some kind of solution to help them out. You know, our job is being good listeners, so I think I'd take that for the long haul.
As long as we've been coaching, Craig is still young in the game, but as long as Price and I've been coaching, I mean, I still get calls from kids that I coached in 84.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and they got families and their kids. And coach, I need some advice. What do you think? And it's just, I think we'll always, because we formed those bonds and, you know, went through those wars together, them relationships, you know, like Price said, still got to be a good listener. That's a majority of our job is listening. Because if you can listen, they're going to tell you what they're doing wrong or what they're going to do. And it's easy to find out and prevent it. You just got to listen.
How proud does it make you feel to see those kids that you had in 1984 that are, gosh, in their 50s now, and they're still coming back to Coach AO?
I always tell the story. I had a little kid. He was a sophomore, tiny dude, about 5'1". And when I first started coaching, I was a disciplinarian, screamed a lot. Probably
not anymore.
Not so much. Okay. I'm a little older now. I was living in Eugene, and he was playing in a band. And I go up to him. I say, "Hey, Bruce, how you doing?" He goes, "Coach, I just want to thank you." I say, "Thank me for what?" He says, "You know, I went into the Marines, and the drill sergeant was screaming and yelling at me, and I was sitting there laughing, and he asked me, 'What are you laughing about?'" He said, "You can't scream at me like Coach AO." I just thought that was hilarious. Yeah. I mean, you know, when you hear things like that, but call and get advice. That means a lot to me that, you know, my former players still like to reach out, just check on me, see how I'm doing.
Craig Snead, Tim Price, Kiki AO, it's such a pleasure and such an inspiration to speak with each of you today. As we start to run out of time, one final question. What makes you most proud to work in our school district in North Clackamas?
Just being able to give back, you know, being able to teach my passion, being able to share my passion with students. This is why I kind of got into this, just being able to talk with students each day and just give them some advice.
I think for me, it's just working with a very good staff. We have really good relationships, and we work through a lot of things with our kids. And like Craig said, too, you know, you got to give back your knowledge and your experiences on things, because that's how you relate to them, because you can give them an alternative to what they're currently going through or their current behavior. But yeah, I just enjoy the staff, the diversity of our staff, and how hard we work, and we work as a team, and that's important to me.
Building relationships with your coworkers, having fun, you know, laughing sometimes at work, just the relationships that you build, you know, we'll always cherish that. And dealing with kids, being a football coach, the satisfaction that I get from that is if they can play for me and I can get them to college, and no matter what level it's on, I'm doing my job as a football coach. When that happens, that's what gives me pleasure.
I can imagine you three are meeting up after those Friday night games, after the kids go home.
Mm-hmm.
Talk about, and maybe after baseball games or after basketball games. I imagine the three of you are at each other's events all the time.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Most definitely. Yeah. Most definitely.
Yeah. Like I said, I'm more of the rookie. This is my first year in like the Milwaukee like community coaching. So, you know, they've helped me out a lot, because I'm still kind of new to everything. It's like he said, I'm the rookie in here. So
obviously time constraints don't allow us to hear from all of our Black educators and para educators, administrators, administrative assistants,
assistants, directors, and everyone else we're proud to call colleagues throughout NCSD. As we wrap up today's podcast, I want to thank our guests, Milwaukee High School's own Craig Sneed, Tim Price, and Kiki Ayo, for their inspirational stories about what Black History Month means to them and how they continually advocate for and make lasting impacts on students at Milwaukee High School and throughout our school district. Each of you truly makes us proud to be NCSD. Thanks to all of our listeners as well. I certainly hope you've been as inspired as I've been today to continue the celebration of Black history not only throughout February, but all year long. We'll wrap up this episode with words from another dynamic Black leader, the first person to break the color barrier in Major League Baseball, Jackie Robinson.
I believe in the human race. I believe in the warm heart. I believe in man's integrity. I believe in the goodness of a free society. And I believe that the society can remain good only as long as we are willing to fight for it and to fight against whatever imperfections may exist.
Look for another episode next week.
And here comes Robinson, trying to steal home. He's safe, says the ump. He's out, says Yogi Berra. And brother, is Yogi hopping. Berra still saying he was out, and Dodger fans rather mournfully saying, wait till tomorrow.
We'll talk to you then. Thanks for listening to the Proud to Be NCSD podcast. In North Clackamas, we know that education is a community effort, and we're so thankful that you and your family are a part of our community. Until next time, remember, there are always great things to see wherever you go in NCSD.